In 2005, Father Pierre, he went to Ars, France, and he went to the home of St. John Vianney, the patron priest of priests. He was famous for hearing hours and hours of confessions. And we have the picture of his confessional. Is it there? There it is. Father Pierre said that confessional, by the way, is really small and really hot in the summer and really cold in the winter. And Father Pierre asked for something. He said, I want my parish, St. Mary's in Vancouver, to become a center for confessions. He asked and it was given to him. And St. Mary's has become a center. A lot of people go there for confessions. And I remember thinking, wow, those Dominicans, like Father Pierre, they hear so many confessions and it bears so much fruit. So Father Pierre asked for that grace and he was given a gift. So Father Pierre has the gift of hearing confessions. He can hear them for hours. And it's a sacrifice, but there's a sweetness to that sacrifice. So I'm asking everyone, now that we're starting this season, made for mission, we ask the Holy Spirit, how do you want me to serve? And this is going to be a daily cross. Because when we ask, where am I supposed to serve? It means sometimes you have to give up what you like doing because it's not bearing much fruit or you're not that good at it. Or it means you have to be courageous and we have to start saying, you want me to serve there? I don't want that. But that's where it's going to be fruitful. Number three, whoever of you does not give up all their possessions cannot be my disciple. One Sunday, Father Francis Martin, he was getting ready to preach and he admitted in prayer, Lord, most of the time we just duck this text. We just ignore it. It's too hard. And Father Francis was thinking, the people that I'm preaching to, they've got families to take care of. How are they supposed to renounce their possessions, Jesus? And Jesus answered him this way in a loving voice. He said, I know that these people have responsibilities to their families, especially their children. What I am telling them is that they must learn from me how and upon what I want them to spend their money. Their life is compartmentalized. They train their children in the gospel, but when it comes to their finances, they act as though I were not their Lord and did not love them. Selfishness and short-sightedness can creep in. Tell them to come to me with their plans for their money. Is this not to renounce responsibly? So everything we have is a gift from God, and everything belongs to him. He's the Lord, and we're the stewards, and our money is meant to do good. And so we have to start asking ourselves questions regularly. Lord, how do you want me to use my money and belongings? Am I wasting them? How can I be sacrificially generous? And am I attached to my possessions? Because the church teaches that detachment from riches is obligatory for entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Three times Jesus says, cannot be my disciple. He has very high expectations. And he's put it on my heart that we have, as a community, we're going to have to start responding to these higher expectations. Now, most of the time, Catholics, we don't like to talk about expectations. Priests don't like to talk about it. We're afraid of turning people off. We're afraid we're going to overwhelm people. So we focus on welcoming, loving, and trying to win people over. Now, if you could, look at the flat screens. Look at this diagram, please. There are four ways we can exist as a church in terms of expectations. And we get a vote which kind of church we want to be. And this is from Father James Mallon. Number one, we can be a low welcoming and a low expectation church. So a low welcoming, low expectation church is a church that they really don't care if you come. They're happy. But if you're new here, they're not going to welcome you. It's not a big deal. There's so many other things going on. If you're new here, not an issue. And they don't expect you to do anything. They don't expect you to grow. Number two, there is low welcoming and high expectations. So this is a church, again, they don't welcome you. They don't care about you or anyone you, but they want you to follow Jesus. So this is a very demanding church, but not a loving church. And then number three, we have a high welcoming and low expectation church. This church really loves you. They love everyone. They're going to go out of their way to make you feel at home. This is a really nice place to be. But they won't help you grow. Everyone, this church makes you feel good, but it won't make you good. Because this church, everyone's mediocre, and they stay that way. And number four, high welcoming, high expectation. This church loves you and will call you to be like Jesus. This church actually is concerned about how you hear the message, but they're going to tell you, look, this is the message, so let's just be clear about it. So which kind of church do we want to be? So we all get to choose, and there's no middle ground. You can't say, I want to be high welcoming, middle expectations. You're not allowed to take that. So what kind of, and we simplify the question to be, do you want to be a welcoming church, yes or no? Yeah. You want to have a church of high expectations or low? Yeah, because that's the way Jesus was. So Jesus, he welcomed everyone, sinners and Pharisees. But he had really high expectations. He said, if you do not hate your family, if you do not love God more than your family, you can't be my disciple. If you don't take up your cross and bear fruit, you can't be my disciple. And if you do not entrust your money to me, you can't be my disciple. So our church has to grow. And we have to be more welcoming and more, we have to have higher expectations. And it starts with me. I've got to get better. And it continues with everyone else. I don't know exactly what this means, practically, but now we're all ready. We all want more welcoming. We all want higher expectations. So this is great news. There is a spiritual author we're going to be following this season. Her name is Sherry Waddell. Her books and experience in discerning the gifts of God and where to serve have made her renowned. On November 3rd, we're going to have Deacon Keith Strom. He's going to give us a parish retreat for 4 days. And he has worked under Sherry. I told you before that Sherry was raised in an abusive home. She was a nominal Christian, not a disciple. In college, she was searching for God, and within 1 year, she experienced him. She knew he was real through the help of the Bible. In 1987, she became Catholic. She walks into a Seattle church, and she experienced the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Once she started committing to Jesus, she started living a life of radical discipleship, and without the usual compromise, there started to be a lot of fruitful things happening in her life. So first, in 1993, she helped found this group for lay Catholics. They want to follow Jesus fully, and they even helped someone in New Zealand become Catholic, from Seattle to New Zealand. That same year, she helps a priest get his parish discernment group to discern the spiritual gifts of those people, and in 2 years, 8 men become priests. That's fruit. And in 1997, she founded the Catherine of Siena Institute to bring people closer to Jesus, to train apostles, help people discover their vocation. And since then, she's worked with 170,000 people. Now, I had dinner with her, or should I say she had dinner with me. And when I met her, I was really impressed by her maturity and her wisdom and her depth. She spent a long time seeking to know God's purposes for her. And one January day, God revealed during the consecration at Mass, he said to her, you have the vocation to call forth the vocations of others. This is a vocation and not a career. And everything you need will be provided for you. And after Mass, she spent half an hour just saying yes to that call. And since she said yes, she said, hasn't been easy. She's given up all of her discretionary time, all of her discretionary money. But it's been so fruitful. And that is what happens when we follow Jesus as disciples.